I want you to turn to Matthew 16. This morning, Sue says to me, well, you better talk to God because he's not giving it to me. So he wants you to speak. I'm like, I don't know what it is, Lord. He's like, what'd you read yesterday? Said Matthew 16. He says, go look at it. He says, didn't you enjoy it yesterday? I go, yeah. I'm amazed, because last time I talked, which was 2 weeks ago, was Matthew 15. And in Matthew 16, as I'm reading it, Matthew 16 goes along with Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, Jesus, in the first 8 or 9 verses, he says, basically, who are you following? He says, you've made void the word of God by your tradition. Do you remember that one? Well, let's go now to Matthew 16. And I think we're going to do it in 2 weeks. But we're going to do is we're going to read the first 12 verses today, and then the other. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering or gloomy. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Do you not remember the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Whenever you hear the word of God, I want you to ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life? Are you listening? How can I apply this to my life? Otherwise, why are we here? Is it to be entertained? Is it to meet together as a group? Is it to get a hug? If that's what you're here for, okay, if that's the level. But when the preaching goes on, that is the most important thing, because it is what God wants to say to you, to help you. How can I apply this to my life? Point number one in verses 1 through 4 is people seeking proof. People seeking signs, okay? They're seeking proof. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders of the Jewish faith, people that were in ministry. Are you hearing this? People that were in ministry. Now, who was he talking to in Matthew 15? People that were in ministry. He said, why do you make void the word of God by your tradition? Now he's talking to more people in ministry. They came to him, the Bible says, tempting him. They came to Jesus, that's good. But they came tempting him. And they desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. I want you to look at Matthew 11, verses 3 to 5. See, God gave me all this stuff. I know you don't think this is much, but here's today, and here's next week. Here's today, here's next week. I don't need a lot of notes. I don't need any notes, to be honest. But I felt like he said, write some things down. People seeking proof. In Matthew 11, 3 through 5, and these people came to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see, which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Basically what Jesus said, what other signs are you looking for? What other signs are you looking for? He said, you could discern what kind of weather we're going to have today. But can't you pick this up? Can't you get this? What else are you looking for? What are you looking for me to do a little miracle? Be a magician? Pfft, something shows in my hand. What are you looking for? People seeking proof. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Galatians chapter 5. People seeking proof. I want you to notice in this passage what people are living for. Are they living for self or are they living for God? Remember I said, what can I learn from this today that's going to help me in my everyday life? Galatians 5, 16 to 24. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now watch this. He said there's the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things that your own flesh, man, desires. He said if you walk in the Spirit. Verse 17, for the flesh lust or has a strong desire against the Spirit of God and the Spirit against the flesh. Have you ever felt as a Christian that a war is going on inside of you? Have you ever felt like you're two people? We're going to see that later in the chapter. I think it is next week about Peter. Okay. Yeah, we will. But have you ever felt like a battle's going on inside of you? You know why? Because before somebody gets saved, now get this, please. Dear Holy Spirit, please quicken this so it will become a foundation for our life. Watch this. The people, every single person you meet, they are either operating at that moment in the flesh or in the Spirit. Now, if they are not born again, they can't operate in the Spirit. It doesn't matter if they know the words of Jesus. It doesn't matter if they go to church. It doesn't even matter if they're a religious leader. It doesn't mean they're born again. So when did you meet Jesus? And when I ask somebody that, I'm listening for what the Bible teaches. Repentance toward God, Acts 20, 21. Repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus. Oh, I've been a Christian all my life. I was born in a Christian home. I went to Bible college. I got doctor in front of my name or other letters after my name. I lead a ministry. I've been doing ministry. I know everything, you know. I already know it all, you know. I wear a collar. Whatever. I wear a robe. So when did you meet Jesus? Let's bring everything back to easy. When did you meet Jesus? Now notice, we have a battle going inside of us. You know why? Because you remember before you met Jesus? You didn't have that battle going on inside of you. You just did what you wanted. You just lived for me. You were like most of the people on the planet. You sang with them in unison. Me, 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 me. It was always about me. Serve me, please me, give me what I want, let me run everything. Do it my way. Right? You didn't battle. But when you met Jesus, and He comes and live inside of you, now you become two people. You've got this flesh man. These aren't even in my notes, Lord. I can see why you want to do it in 2 weeks. Watch this. You have this flesh man that is opposing God. Your body, for the rest of your life, is going to oppose God. Your flesh is not going to want to do what God wants. Does anybody hear me? Does anybody hear me?
Amen.
Your body is your enemy. Your body is anti-God. God designed us in such a way so that we have this spirit man, okay, that was dead until Jesus comes along and raises, and we're born into the spirit family, and we become alive spiritually. Now, are we going to serve the spirit? Or are we going to serve the flesh? Is it about what God wants or what I want? Right? And because God and what I want are two different things, we're constantly in a battle. Who are we going to serve? You really ought to memorize this part of this verse, Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, at the beginning of the verse, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And the reason I had my kids, my family, memorize Romans chapter 6 was because in there it says, know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? If you obey the flesh, then you're serving Satan. You're serving the world system. And it says you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That doesn't mean the world being people. It's a system that is opposing God. We only have a battle because Christ came to live inside of us, because we made a choice. I saw in a movie last night where the guy said, what did they do? Have a come to Jesus moment? Well, we had a come to Jesus moment and we're born again. See, they're going to say all kinds of things, people in this world, people for entertainment, mock us, try to make us look bad. Okay, it's okay. I'm going to love you anyway. But that battle we have inside of us, who are we going to serve? Who are we going to serve? Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust, the strong desire of the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit. How do we learn to walk in the Spirit? That might be a good question to write down. How do I learn to walk in the Spirit? We can talk about that sometime. Because There's simple things. I mean, there's things to understand, but there's simple things to walk in the Spirit. We're going to find it, I think it's in the second part of Matthew 16 next week. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desire, strong, evil desire of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, has a strong, evil desire against the Spirit of God. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Your spirit man wants to serve God. I want everything to be different so they can see you. I want that, God, and then I walk right out here and yell at people as I'm driving because they're on my road. And don't you know this is a passing lane? And what are you doing over here? And we're screaming. And we got all this. Why? You understand? Okay, let's keep going. He says, you see, you want to do what's right. You keep coming here, not because you come here for a reason. You come here because you want Jesus. Jesus has come live inside of you, and now you want Him. You embrace Him, and you embrace everything about Him. But you find yourself failing all the time because your body, your flesh man, your flesh desires are the opposite of God. He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't have to go by rules when you're following the Spirit. But can I ask a question? Can you picture a leaf being dropped from a tall building? What happens to that leaf? It floats. It starts falling to the ground. But as it does it just fall straight down? Why not? Thank you. And so what does it do? It flows or yields to the wind. It doesn't resist the wind, does it? We need to be a dry leaf. We need to learn to flow with the wind. We need to die to us being in control. We need to die to things wanting to be our way. But I want to get to the ground. He says, you will. But that's not where I want you, right down there. I want you about a mile away. And the only way for that to happen is for you to yield to the wind of the Holy Spirit. Yield. Surrender is good. But that means you've been in a fight and now you finally chose to give up. I can't win. Okay, now that you've surrendered, why don't you live the rest of your life yielding? Yielding means to give the right away. You got a highway. And you're going to enter the highway and they have what's called a yield sign. And you're supposed to merge. But when I go to pull on the highway the other day with Brother DBJ, there was a big semi coming right along here. Now, why didn't he move over to the other lane so I could get over? Who cares? I'm supposed to yield. I could fight with him and lose. Or I could yield. Why do we fight with the semis in our life? Why don't we yield? Become a little leaf and flow with the wind of the Spirit. Oh God, you want this in my life? Okay. What were we doing? We were doing something. DBJ and I we're doing something and then something went different. And it's like, okay, then we'll just go with this. It's like, not get mad, yell, curse, stomp our little feet, throw our little temper tantrum because we're grown up babies. Shake our rattle. Grit our teeth. It's a whole lot easier to yield. There's a kingdom of pride, and there's a kingdom of humility. In the kingdom of humility, it's yielding. In Galatians 5, he's talking about walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh, operating. Which one are we operating in? Now watch. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, the law is the law of gravity. And you drop that leaf off, and the law of gravity says it's going to take it right to the ground. But you're not under the law of gravity, and it's going straight to the ground. If you're led of the Spirit, you yield to the wind, and the wind takes you way over there. And you just enjoy the ride. I want you to picture in your mind, this is just a picture God gave me before, I like this picture, of you're going to go on a trip, and you and your daddy and your mommy, and you're going to go on a trip, and you don't have to know where you're going. You're the kid. It's mommy and daddy. They're going to take you on a trip, and you just want to be with mommy and daddy. You don't have to figure out where you're going, so you don't need a map. Daddy looks at the map. You just want to be with mommy and daddy. And you don't have to prepare and get everything together because mommy and daddy do that. They're the mommy and daddy. You're just a little child. And then you don't have to put gas in the car. Daddy puts gas in the car. And you don't have to pay for the gas. Daddy pays for the gas. And you don't have to drive. You know what you need to do? See, when God's your co-pilot, that means you're sitting up front. And what that means is you're too close to the steering wheel. You're going to have a tendency to want to reach over and grab that steering wheel and steer where your life is going. So I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I'm not equal with God. He's the daddy. I'm the child. So you know what Daddy taught me to do? He said, Harvey, I want you to get in the back seat and I want you to sit down. He said, leave the driving to me. I don't need a backseat driver. He said, don't be up there in the seat next to me because you'll grab the steering wheel and you're just a little kid. He said, so you're sitting in the back seat. He said, I want you to roll the window down and put your arm out and go with the flow of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. Have you ever done that? Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that easy? No burden, no pressure. I'm talking about life. Your everyday life. Embrace what's in your life. That song, the guy is given a testimony. By the way, what does the word testimony start with? Actually, it starts with a test. You can't have a testimony without a test. And you can't have a message without a mess. We don't want to give a testimony until we're past it. And everything's all wonderful and we can praise God. We don't like talking about it when we're going through it. Because I don't have the victory yet. Now I'm just all in my molly grubs. I'm just feeling sorry for me and everything's terrible. But when we get through it, all we want to talk about is praise God, praise God. What I'm saying is, I wonder if we praise God while we're going through it. I wonder if it would change our attitude, which would change our altitude. I wonder. And so that guy is given a testimony about his grandmother having blood cancer. Now, can God heal? Could God heal that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I mean, is that too hard for God?
Yeah.
Right? And so we ask him, we trust him to do it. But is God good when he heals us? What if he doesn't heal us? Oh, then why do we live in depression? Why do we listen to the enemy? Why? And you know why? That's what I'm saying about embracing what we're going through. I know it's hard. And that's where you pray, you come to church, you ask people to pray for you, you ask people to anoint you, you put it over into God, you talk to your brothers and your sisters, you ask them to pray for you. Maybe you need to call people every day just to be reminded to get, okay, I'm listening to the enemy, okay, I'm listening to my flesh, okay, I'm listening to all these reports. In the natural, all these things in the natural with so-and-so and so-and-so and here's what, and who am I going to believe? Who am I going to believe? Because this is true in the natural, but then there's God. Now God, I'm going through this. I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. I don't like it. Harvey, I'm going to work through you and release you, and you're going to bring hundreds of millions of people to me. Now, go sit on the backside of a desert with just a few people and wait. And I'm thinking, okay, I understand. You know, a slight pause. He didn't say pause. He said wait. Wait's different than pause. You know, after 5 minutes, it goes off pause and starts playing again. No, I just thought we were on pause. He's like, no, we're on wait. I'm like, well, surely you can see what's going on in the world. Like, isn't it time to release me yet? He's like, you're on wait. He's like, when it's time, I know your name, your address, and your phone number. And until then, I didn't change my mind. Now, what about you? Does he know your name, address, and phone number? Because I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Can I relate to it? I can relate to it. I know what you're going through. I can relate to it. But then there's God. Did Jesus change? Did Jesus go on vacation and forget you? Okay. He'll go with you on vacation, is that what you mean? Right, okay. Now I want you to notice, we're going to look at verses 19 to 21. Because in this passage, what we're talking about is people seeking signs or proof, okay? In verses 19 to 21, we're going to find out, because he's talking about in Galatians 5, what spirit, what are they living in? What is their focus? What are they operating in? Which kingdom, the flesh or the spirit? Verses 19 to 21. He said, now the works of the flesh, or the proof that people are operating in the flesh, are clearly revealed or manifest, which are these. Adultery, but I love Jesus, but I live with somebody. I'm sorry. You don't love Jesus. You're deceiving yourself. Okay? Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is loose living basically, idolatry, worshiping something other than God, witchcraft, trusting in things that are not God, Ouija boards, horoscopes, hatred, variance, at odds with people, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not asking anybody. Somebody called me recently and said, "Hi, Harvey, the ex-drug dealer. This is so-and-so, the murderer." That's how he started the conversation. Yeah, like within the last week or so. Now, watch what I'm saying. I'm not asking you. I'm saying that because he quit doing that, but he knows that's what's in his heart. He knows that's where he's been. That's still his identification. See, like when I went to a AA meeting, I couldn't stand up like the rest of them and say, "Hi, I'm Harvey Hampton. I'm a drunk," or whatever they call it. I'm an alcoholic. No, I would have to stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Harvey Hampton. I'm a born-again child of God. Thank you, Jesus." I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a child of God. You see, this is what I was, but this is what I am. Completely different. And it's all because of Jesus. It's not because I straightened up or joined a club or embraced a new ideology or set of rules or values. It's because Jesus came to live inside of me and set me free from the bondage of sin. Sin doesn't have a power over me anymore. I don't have to live in the flesh anymore. Before, I couldn't, it didn't matter. January 1st came along. I made New Year's resolutions. I tried so hard, and by February 1st, I couldn't even remember what I promised because I had failed so much, I gave up. It's not New Year's resolutions. It's Jesus. And it may be a come to Jesus moment because you get born again in a moment, but it didn't stop at that moment. Not if it's a true come to Jesus moment. Like Glenn said, it might be 2 weeks. Anyway, Galatians. I thought I was going to be way past this by now. I had no idea I was going to say all this stuff. So 19 through 21, I want you to notice that people are living for self. Look at that. They're living for flesh. I see women on TV or other places, and they got shapes and parts of their body that I could see. I don't want to see that because it appeals to my flesh. I don't want that. My wife says I don't want to lose my eyes when she gouges them out. There's living in the flesh and there's living in the spirit. Okay, so anyway, my point is, verses 19 to 21, they're living for self. They're living to please flesh. I see things wrong with people. That doesn't mean I have liberty to say it. If I want to straighten somebody out, I know that's the devil. That's my flesh. That's the world's way of doing things. If I see something's wrong in somebody, and I'm like, "I don't want anything to do with that." And God's like, "I want you to confront them." And I'm like, "But I don't want to." He said, "That's why you can. Because you don't want to. And you'll be careful and you'll do it. You'll speak the truth in love. But if you want to," he said, "then I don't want you to. Because you're doing it in the wrong spirit. You know not what spirit you are of." This is huge. I dare you to write this down and memorize this little question. And ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to your mind often, maybe 2,400 times a day. You ready? Are you ready? What spirit am I operating in right now? What spirit am I operating in right now? I'll give you a key. If it's about what I think, what I feel, or what I want, then it's not the right spirit. Because if it's about what I think, what I feel, what I want, then it's not about Jesus, is it? Sorry? See, watch this. We stand out here, we raise our hands, we sway, and we say these words, and then we make choices contrary, and we don't have success, and we wonder why. It's real simple. I want Jesus to live His life in me. I want Jesus to live His life in me. We're going to cheat and go ahead to, I want to come back to Galatians, but let's go right now to Matthew. Matthew 16 and verse 24. We'll get this in one of these weeks. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Did we just hear a song about that? Did anybody else hear the song? Did we just hear a song about, I want to come after Jesus. Jesus, I want something to be different. I want it to be you and me. Not that people see me as different, but they see you in me. You ready? Then said Jesus unto his disciplined followers. Are you a disciplined follower? Are you? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Just stop there. Let him deny his flesh. Not one time I had fasted for 2 weeks. God asked me to fast for 2 weeks. So I fasted for 2 weeks. No problem. I mean, it was by the grace of God because God asked me to. When people, by the way, when people say, we are doing this fast and we want you to join, you pray. If God gives you grace, go ahead. But don't come put some burden on me that I'm supposed to fast because you're fasting. If God wants me to fast, He'll let me know. And I fast when God tells me to fast. And you can see how fat I've gotten by fast. Okay? Okay? Because you can either fast or get fat. So, anyway. So, watch this. So I was fasting for 2 weeks, right? So let's say it's today is the last day. And tomorrow I get to eat. It's been 2 weeks. And by the way, when you fast, it's only the first 3 days that are hard. After the third day, something happens inside of your body physically. Now those first 3 days, it's like when you tried to quit smoking. You know? I mean, if you did. I did. Okay. And those first 3 days, it was hard. Or 3 months. Okay. Physically. But for me, it was 3 days. But like fasting, 3 days. The first 3 days are the hardest. And it's all in here, by the way. If it's God, it's all in here. Okay? Because God said it, you can do it. It's that simple. Don't do it to yourself. That's hard. And there's not a reward in it. Because you did it. You weren't led of the Spirit. Okay? Now watch. So you go to fast, okay? After the third day, it's like you don't have all that hunger stuff and whatever. It's like it just does. It's I don't know what it is. Those first 3 days, and then it's like kind of like in coasting. Not exactly, but kind of. Okay, now watch. So I'd fasted for 2 weeks. It was the last day, like today's the last day, and tomorrow I get to eat. I can't let my mind today go to where I, what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I can't, if I start thinking on that, I'm going to have a problem today. I got to focus on today. Sufficient unto the day thereof is, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay? Last verse of Matthew 6. Just deal with what's going on today. But watch this. This truly happened. Fast for 2 weeks, no problem. Grace of God, no problem. The last day, my stomach started making these noises. I thought a volcano was gone off inside of me. I thought something was trying to get in or out. I don't know what. It was making all kinds of noises. And I mean, it started having this strong desire. But God had taught me. I understood the principle. I didn't know anything about what spirit-filled people do of all this casting and yelling and proclaiming. And I didn't know about any of all that stuff. I only knew what God had done in me. And I knew the principle. And I said, and I looked at my belly and I said, if you make one more noise, I'm going to fast another 2 weeks. Now, was I stupid? Okay, what if it had made one more noise? But I'm like, Lord, and it was like, that's what came to me, and so I said it. If you make one more noise, I said, you're not going to run my life. The Spirit's going to run my life, not my belly. I said, if you make one more noise, I'm going to fast 2 more weeks. It got quiet just like that. Never heard another peep out of it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And I got to eat the next day. But what I'm saying is, it was, and that goes along in this chapter too, because he gave me authority. Amen. See, sin shall not, Romans 6:14, you need to have that memorized. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You want to sing about, oh, the chains are gone and I'm no longer a slave to sin or a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That's just the Bible. And I like the song, but I'm saying Bible. Bible. Romans 6:14. No problem. Okay, so we're in Matthew 6. Matthew 16. I'm sorry. We're going back to Galatians chapter 5. Sorry. Remember verses 19 to 21. We have the proof of somebody being in the flesh. And we could all raise our hands and say, I was guilty of some of that. Could we not? Could we not? I was guilty of some of that. And I was in the flesh. But then when you became born again, you didn't want anything to do with those things anymore. Now, sometimes you might fall into it. You make mistakes. You mess up. But when you do, you feel real bad about it. You don't want to live there. Correct? So you go in a battle. Okay? And the battle is easy when you look at that verse that we talked about in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. God, I want such and such. My flesh wants such and such. But Lord, I know this is what you want. This is what you want. This is what my flesh wants. God, I can't do it without you. He said, here's how to depend on me. And he'll give you a baby step. Sometimes it's just say no. How about, you know what I tell my cat every morning? I go in to clean her litter. And she comes in there and rubs against me because she wants to be pet wherever I am. Because she only knows one tune. Me, 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 me. Pet me. Feed me. Me, me, me. I want to sleep. Me, 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 me. I hear her singing it all the time. It's like, don't you know any other words? Nope. It's just all me. So I'm in there on my knees cleaning her litter. She's rubbing against me. If I don't pet her, she turns around and you know how you have the doors, the little thing with a little rubber thing so it doesn't hit the wall? Yeah, a little bumper. Well, she goes up there, pulls it off. You know what I tell her? It is not an option. Don't look at it. So she'll be over by me, and then she'll look over there, and I grab her face, and I turn it over here. Because she always argues. Because it's me, right? It's what I want. And so then she's here, and then she looks. I take her face, and I pull it. I tell her, quit looking at it. Would that work for you? What if you quit looking at it? In Psalms, David said, I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. It's wicked if it's against God, is it not? So why are you looking at it? Quit looking at it. Why are you thinking about it? Every single day of my life, I want to say, the thought comes to me, when will you get released? When will you get to go after those hundreds of millions? When will you get to preach to the people? When are you going to get to train the ministers that's going to cover the world? When are you going to get to be have this movement start through you that God talked about? A movement of relationship. So I come to bed. My wife nestles up against me for 5 minutes until she pushes me off because I'm hot. And so we're hugging, and she says, what are you thinking about? And the thought comes to me, when are you going to get released? And I say, I'm not thinking about that. I trust God. His timing is perfect. Doesn't it say in Acts chapter 1 about verse 6, the times are in the Lord's hands? The times are in God's hands. Actually, I think it's verse 7. It's not, he's in charge. He's God, I'm not. He gets to call the shots, not me. I could tell him what I want, but like the man in the testimony, we pray for our grandmother, we pray for our brother, and they both have cancer. And God, we know that you are able to do it, and we commit them into your hands. Now, Lord, whether you choose to heal them or not, we're going to trust you, praise you, and believe in you no matter the result. Can you say that? Because if you could say that, you can live in the Spirit. If you can't say that yet, you're going to find yourself in a battle of spirit or flesh. You're going to be in the flesh because you're going to find yourself questioning God. Why is this happening to me? Why doesn't this happen? I prayed. Why? He's not your lucky star, you know? You pray and he says, oh, let me please just go do that for you. He's like, I'm God. I heard you. I know what you're asking for. But Rick, not yet. But God, he's like, I'm not a but God. I am the God. He said to me recently, a few months ago, he said to me, do you trust me? And I go, yeah. He said, then why do you question me? He said, if you trust me, why do you keep questioning? And you know what I was questioning about? When am I going to get released? You know, I keep reminding him of things like, you know, I was just minding my own business as a drug dealer, and you came and interrupted my life and saved me, and then you called me to preach, and then you take me through all this training, and then you said, now I'm going to put you on a shelf. And I said, it's been over 25 years. I said, what's that about? He said, I'm God.
You are not.
I'm God, you're not. I'm good. You're not. I'm omniscient. I know all. You don't, even though you think you do. Folks, So we have proof of somebody living in the flesh. I think it's noteworthy that he starts it off with adultery. Fornication. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. Adultery is sex outside of marriage. Fornication is sex not being married. Adultery is sex while you're outside of your marriage. Okay? It's sex outside of your marriage. And you may just do it in your head. And therefore, you've done it in your heart. That's why I said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Everywhere I turn, they're on billboards. They're on commercials. They're everywhere I turn. Look at my body. Don't you want an air filter? What? Look at my body. Don't you want a box of Kleenex? Look at my body. Don't you want a new car? Why do I got to look at your body? You see what I'm saying? So the proof that somebody's in the flesh are these things. And we've all been guilty of them in some way. Not every one necessarily, but maybe every one. And then he says, now the proof that somebody's in the spirit is love. What is love? Jesus. What is love? How about, I really love the definition. Love is doing what's best for another in the long run, no matter their response, even to the laying down of your own life. Love. He says, the proof that somebody's in the spirit, they're operating in love. Love always has an object. That means love is others-minded. Love, joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Peace. Well, I'm token a reefer, dude. I've got peace. You didn't, you were in the wrong spirit. Long suffering, willing to go through things where you're suffering for a long time with the right attitude. Do you see these things that are here? We were talking about which one are we in? Are we living for self or living for God and others? Folks, this isn't about being hard. Let's make it easy. What spirit am I operating in? Remember the question? What spirit, because God brought this to me years ago. Harvey, what spirit are you operating in? That's in the Bible, by the way. I could look it up for you if you want. I've got it in my Bible somewhere. It's Mark or Luke. I have to look it up. But we saw one casting out devils in thy name, but he followeth not us. So we forbade him. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. He that is not with me is against me. He doesn't have to be part of our little group. When we see, by the way, people that are guilty of operating in the flesh, we need to love them, not condemn them. What about if we mess up? Somebody posted this week on Sue's Facebook that a man went with his wife to church and his cell phone went off during the sermon. And everybody gave him the look. And people are saying things and straining to look, and his wife all the way home nagged him. The guy never went back to church. But then he went to the bar. And when he was at the bar, he accidentally knocked his beer over. And the other guy said, it happens, don't worry. The bartender, waitress lady says, don't worry, I'll get it for you. And she came, cleaned it up. And the bartender said, let me give you another beer. So the guy keeps going to the bar. Now, people don't want to be told they're wrong. There's two points to the story. People don't want to be told they're wrong. But we need to speak the truth in love. When I was starting to preach up here or read earlier, there was people in that room that were talking. And it was distracting me. And I know it had to be distracting others. And I'm like, Lord, do you want me? What do you want me to do about this? He said, I just want you to keep preaching. He said, I'll deal with it. I think my wife went and maybe said something to somebody, but after a while I heard them talking again. And I'm like, Lord, what do you do about that? He said, Harvey, I want you to love people where they're at. I want you to teach them, but realize it's going to take a long time. Change is slow. And people justify in their minds why they do what they do. And I don't want you to condemn them. I don't want you to straighten them out. I want you to love them. And I want you to allow them to make mistakes or do things that it would be better if they did something else. Allow them room to grow and change in love. So when we have 500 people and people are coming and girls are wearing hot pants or mini skirts, let's don't do what we've done before in church. You didn't do it. I did it. Where I took them clothes and said, here, why don't you go put this on? Let's love them where they're at. People come, guys with their long hair and stuff. Let's don't go up to them and make fun because they got a man bun. Or people wearing their pants down. And do you need a belt? You know, we don't need to do that. Because that's not Jesus. That's us. Our preferences, our opinions, and we're forcing them on somebody else. I don't see Jesus doing that. I believe it's in Luke 15, if I remember correctly. And it says that Jesus sat with sinners and eateth with them. I don't really see, there's I think one place or two where Jesus sat with religious leaders, but it always ended up where Jesus ended up rebuking them. But see, Jesus associates with sinners. But when he dealt with the religious people, like you'll see in this chapter, he ends up rebuking them and then he leaves them. I don't want Jesus leaving me. It's like Jesus is like, you get to choose who you're going to serve. You get to choose what spirit you're going to operate in. I'm giving you some truth here. You say you're a religious leader and you're leading other people, but you are in error. And I'm going to make it clear. You even come here tempting me. And I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to speak the truth in love, but I'm not hanging out with you. But I want you to hear me. Jesus hung out with sinners. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Do not miss this or your life will be shambles. Be careful who you hang out with. You love the sinner while you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. And you don't condemn their sin. But you don't hang out with them. Well, we're going to have a party and we're all going to drink and stuff. My wife and I have gone to people's weddings. They invite us over and then they're going to have a reception and then they start drinking. We go to the reception. We show. We tell them we're glad. And then we leave. Because the longer you stay, other spirits are invited in. Here, come live inside of me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to hang out with you if that's your choice. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm here. But I want to bring you to Jesus, not me go to the devil. But I'm going to come hang out with sinners. Do you understand? I'm going to love you where you're at. But I'm going to love you too much to leave you there. And you don't need to even talk to them about their sin. They already know. Here, I've gone witnessing to like bikers and they're drinking. Here, Pastor, want a beer? No, thanks. I used to drink those until they invented the funnel. They all start laughing. I said, but when I met Jesus, I'm so high on Jesus, I don't want to come down. I just say, no, thank you. I really appreciate it, though. I'm not mad at them. I'm not condemning them. I'm not putting them in their place. And I stay there as long as God tells me to. But I'm not going to hang out with them and become them. It's not okay that they're doing whatever they're doing. I'm not going to become a party to that. Do you understand? We're talking about, are we walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit? We have to make choices. When Jesus sat with sinners, He was loving on them and bringing God to them. He was trying to bring them in to His level, not going down to their level, doing what they're doing. He was loving the person, not loving their choices. Do you understand? That's right. And we're going to have people that are going to, that you already have them right now in your life. And they make choices that are different than you know is right. Because Jesus lives in you and you can't have peace with that, can you? And you know what I'm talking about. Whatever, it's different for all of you. That's why if you'll notice, wherever I go, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take over, but I don't want you to control my life. I don't want you to take me at that level because I can't live at that level. I have to live at the level God's called me to. So I'm going to try to bring you to my level. And when you've got enough of that, okay, I'll leave. I tell people all the time, you know the neat thing about me? I didn't come to stay. I came to leave. I said, I'll be leaving a little bit. Until then, I know you'll be a little irritated because he told me I'm a big nose. He's sticking in your life. Okay. But I'm just going to love you with Jesus. And they know that. And I give them a little dose of Jesus. And I say, if you want more, you know where I am. But I won't be calling you to take you to lunch. But if you want to go to lunch, that means you know what you're getting when you invite me. How can I apply this to my life? There's people seeking signs. Jesus, Matthew 16. Go back to Matthew 16. And they came tempting and desiring him that he would show them a sign. And he said, you hypocrites, you could discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? What do you see that's going on in this world, my friends? What do you see what's going on? Can you see this world going to hell in a hurry? Can you see that people don't want to be told what's right or wrong? Can you see that people are making, there's no restraints? Everybody, they have little bumper stickers that say coexist. I do this, and it's okay if you do that. Let's just get along without saying anything to each other. Coexist. I see it as devilish. I want, but Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Because he says, before you were saved, you had peace to live like the devil. You didn't have peace, but you felt good to live that way. But when I come to live inside of you, now all of a sudden, I can't just keep doing the things I was doing. That's if somebody really had a come to Jesus moment. Not because I just went to church for 20 years. But when they have a come to Jesus moment, from that moment forward, they can't be comfortable with sin. 1 John 3:9, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. It doesn't mean you can't sin. It means you cannot practice sin and live with it. I want to operate in the Spirit, Brother Harv. He says to the religious leaders, can ye not discern the signs of the time? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Do you want Jesus to leave you? I'm asking you.
No.
So you want Jesus to stay, right? Is Jesus right or are we right?
Jesus.
You know what God helped me to see through her one time? She said to me these words. It was in this house because I remember I was sitting in my chair and she said, Harvey, relationship is more important than being right. And because I had read the Bible so much and tried to adhere to it and had obedience beaten into me, I thought I was right all the time. I could even give you a chapter and verse on about anything I did. But I was self-righteous. And I was constantly pointing at others and condemning them. You ought to do what I do. I have to put myself up as the example. Relationship is more important than being right. Ready? If you want Jesus to stay with you, because we're going to end on this. Are you ready? If you want to live and walk in the Spirit more, He is right, we are not. People say to me all the time, you're right. And I go, nope. I say, God's right. And this time I think I just happen to be in agreement with Him. I'm not saying that just to make Him smile or to have some little witty thing to say, to be mouthy again. I'm not doing that. I'm saying it because I'm trying to help them to understand. I don't see myself as being right anymore. I see God as always being right, and I want to be in agreement with Him. I get to practice more of His presence now than ever before. And that's one of the steps. That's one of the things we need to understand. I am not right. But I think the furniture ought to be this way. But I think we ought to go that way. But I think... Is it about what you think? Because maybe God wants to break that pride by you not getting what you think. And you may be right, and God's like, I don't care. I still want you to do this. Because it's not going to hurt anything except to break your pride. See what I'm saying? If we want more of the presence of God, since He's right, we need to do what pleases Him. What would please you in this situation? But God, I think the boss ought to do this and that. He's given us too much and have to work Saturdays. I'm tired. And He says, give it to me. Ask me what I want and let me do it. And then just wait. He said, commit it unto me. Push it across the desk to me. Say, Daddy, would you take care of that? And he nods his head and say, I can trust my daddy. His timing is perfect. It may not be today, but he already said he'd take care of it. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be the way I want, because it's not about what I want. But now I know God, I've invited God in, and everything will be okay. When Sue said, Harvey, I think God's wanting you to speak today. And I'm like, and I go in there and God's like, Harvey, you know how when you read this chapter, it's like so much of this I've taught you and you own it. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, this isn't going to be one of those highly anointed, whoa, we're all in a cloud things. He said, this is going to be a very practical helping them with their everyday walk of what they're really after. And you know what? That's what I care about, is your everyday walk. I care about you being in His presence, because you're going to go through things. You already are. But you're going to go through more things, and you're getting prepared for those things. And this isn't about theory, like they'll teach on Christian TV sometimes, theory, and then it doesn't work, and then you got to make excuses of why it didn't work, or blame yourself, I didn't have enough faith or something. No, it's like, we're praying for my grandmother, and we're praying for my brother, and now God, we're committing them unto you. Will you take care of them? Yes. Now, we want them to be healed, and we know you're able. Would you please do that? And God says, will you give them to me? Will you let me work it out in my way and in my time? I didn't say I'd heal them. I can. And I might. All I want you to do is trust me whether they get healed or not. Will you? That's where he's bringing us into a deeper place of trusting him. Is that what we want? Really? And see, I know God can heal. But how come he doesn't? Because he's God. We're not. We can't tell him. Well, here's a scripture. You have to do this. He's like, when you get to heaven, I'll make it real clear. He said, until then, trust me. He said, I'm God. You're not. You don't have the understanding I have. I'm doing things. Do you trust me?